have any pockets, so yeah, I'm using this one. It's a joy to be with you, actually. We've been with you since January, and we just want to say on behalf of me and Steve, you know, a big thank you for enveloping us in your family here at OCF. We really, really appreciate that. It's a joy to share with you today. I've been kind of waiting on the Lord because I think, you know, I've been asked a few times, are you going to speak? And I'm like, no. And I've just been waiting for the Lord to give me permission, really. And I think that's been really important. So I just want to pray. Father, we thank you for your word that has life and has power. And Lord, I pray that every heart and mind right now will be open to your word, Lord, whether it comes out my mouth or comes straight from the throne room of heaven. Lord God, we pray a real activation and an empowerment of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, if you've been around OCF for a while, you'll sense the stirrings of Holy Spirit. You sense that actually there is potential here for something really powerful, a powerful move of God to happen. And it's like almost we get to the edge quite often and then we kind of just seem to back off again. And I was asking the Lord about that. And the Lord said to me to come and share with you three keys, really. And one is love God. The second one is love yourself. And the third one is love your community. And I really believe when we get those three things right, we're going to see growth, you know, that will just be immeasurable. It only depends on how much we're willing to actually love God, love ourselves, and love our community. Because the community right now, I don't know about you and what you're experiencing, but I'm certainly experiencing people are really open to the gospel. People really are ready for you to simply invite them and to speak to them and for them to begin their journey in encountering the love of Jesus. Over our door at home and in our kitchen, we've got two signs, and the words are slightly differently organized. And the one over the door is, all you need is love. So every time we go out the door, we're reminded to clothe ourselves with love of God. And in the kitchen, it is the other way around, and love is all you need. And, you know, for those of us who've been around a little while, you'll know that's actually the words of a song that the Beatles wrote. And, you know, I thought it would be a little bit of fun just for the first few minutes because you might be like an aerobics workout. But every time I say the word love, right, I want you to stand to your feet and sing All We Need Is Love. Okay, is anyone up for that? Because it's fun, but actually it helps you remember the message because love is all we need. That was rubbish. Well done to Dave. Are we ready? Okay, because all we need is love. Fantastic. Well done, well done, well done. So the Beatles were commissioned to write a song for the very first broadcast that actually went all around the world, which is the theme of what we're talking about. And I actually believe that that was the message from God. And whether the Beatles understood that or got it completely right in what they did, that's a message for every one of us, isn't it? That if we have nothing else and we only have love, then, you know, we won't go far wrong, will we? So this broadcast was actually watched by 150 million people, the very first broadcast that went around the world, in 26 countries. And All You Need Is Love was number one. Well done. You don't have to do it anymore now. You'll be exhausted. Love is actually... actually the most important thing in the world, and it's what people need the most. We were created, weren't we, for love, and it's an action word. You know, I can't say I love AED and then not demonstrate it, because it's just a cold word, isn't it? It's a dead word. I can't love my Steve and never tell him or never express that to him in some way. It's an action word. And very often we say we love God, but we don't activate that. You know, it just becomes cold and dead. And God wants every one of us to have such an encounter with his love that actually it transforms our lives, and we are just totally besotted and engrossed and in love with Jesus, in love with God, in love with Holy Spirit. Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your strength. And actually very often we don't do that, do we? Or actually we love God with our mind, but actually it never comes into our heart. And so we don't live like we love God. We live like we love the world. And God is really challenging us, isn't he, in these days, that we live a life that demonstrates our love for God and not our love for the world. Otherwise, we're kind of doing this weird walk, aren't we, where we're kind of living in one way when we come to church and it looks great. And then, you know, the rest of the week, we're just living in this other lifestyle, really. And, you know, would we be embarrassed if Jesus saw what we're doing in the middle of the week? You know, we've got to demonstrate totally our love for God. So it means that the love of God has to go from our head knowledge, into our heart and into our soul and into every part of our being. So actually we can worship God because that's a great demonstration of our love for him. And it's really hard to truly worship him with our hands in our pockets and our faces looking miserable. And it's an action word, isn't it? So this morning, the worship was great. It was really, really great. Thank you to Sue and the team. But you see, we're all in the worship team. And we're all in the worship team 24/7, 365. We're not just in the worship when we're here. You know, we can join with the angels when we're driving the car, when we're walking the streets, wherever we are, when you're having a great time, when you're in the pits and times difficult. You know, we can choose to the love of God. We can choose to worship him. And when we focus on worshiping him, very often it changes our mindsets about our circumstances and empowers us to actually live above our circumstances and not dictated by them. Anyone with me? Yeah. So if we're going to love God, we need to understand more about him, which I think is really important. God's names are great. You know, God has like dozens and dozens and dozens of names, and we're just going to look at a few of them this morning. Behold him. You know, we need to know, who are we beholding? You know, if we behold God, he wants to come to us in lots of different ways, in a way that we need him and he ministers to us. And very often what happens is, you know, have you ever hugged anyone and it's like hugging a brick wall, you know, and they're like, and we can be like that with God, can't we, sometimes? And he wants you to behold him, to allow him to envelop you in his love and to take the lid off everything. You know, all those parts of your life that you've absolutely locked down, you can't talk about, you can't think about. God just wants to come into those areas with his love and his grace and set us free so that we can be actually vessels of love, and he can really enjoy that flow of relationship with us. So his names, when we understand his names, we understand how faithful God is. You know, he's not like me or you, because however hard we try, we're going to let each other down at some point. We're going to disappoint each other because we're not perfect and we're fallible and we'll offend one another, although we shouldn't be offended. But we can really do things that actually cause pain to each other, although that's not our intention very often. But God is never like that. He only has our good right at the center of his heart all the time. And so when we're going through difficult times and we don't understand, we can say, God is faithful. and I can trust him, even though I can't see what the answer to my problem is right now. You know, I don't understand why this person I prayed for has died, and I love them, and I prayed this and that and the other. We can still say, I trust God, because he knows that the plans that he has for our life right from the beginning of eternity, doesn't he? So God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, as you probably know. Philippians 4:19 says, my God will meet all, I put that in capital letters, all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And very often we don't receive that because we don't expect it and we don't ask for it. And it's easy for me to pray for Sue that God would bless her, God would open the treasure houses of heaven and really pour out everything she needs. That's a really easy thing for me to do. But many years ago, I could never pray that for myself because I had a poverty spirit and I never expected God to bless me. And so God wants to break that from our mindset, not because he wants to make us rich for our own benefit so we have nice flash cars or nice big houses and holidays. It's because he wants to use us actually to bring his love and his grace and his mercy to the people on our streets, to the sex workers, to people, you know, who are homeless, so that we are, you know, the vessel that God can use to release his provision. 2 Corinthians 9:8, God will generously, he's not a mean God, he will provide all you need. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's our peace. Some of you today need peace. The world around us has got no peace whatsoever. The media are 24/7 just pumping things you can worry about. The adverts are worrying, you know, things you can be worried about. You know, get your funeral planned, get this planned and that planned and all the stuff that they're just barraging you with every single day. But God is our peace. And, you know, when we're worried about finances, whether we're worried about family or whatever, we can say, God, you are my peace. I step into your peace. Some of you need to do that today. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. You see, if we are living in the middle of God's peace, people notice. Why are you so happy? Why are you so trusting that you're not worrying about this situation and that situation? You know, when you're in the queue in Tesco's and everyone's moaning or whichever supermarket you go to, you know, they find something to moan about, won't they? And you can come and be the antidote. You can come and bring the peace of God. You can come. One of our team, I lead a team called Community Watcher Ministries, and one of our ladies broke her arm recently. And she'd gone to the doctor's surgery and she was moaning about the receptionist being really miserable and really difficult to handle. And I just said to her, you're the antidote. Take her a box of chocolates. Tell her, you know, she's doing a great job. Give her a card. Say thank you for all that you're doing. And that's who we are. We're meant to be the peace of God. We're meant to be the antidote, aren't we, for people who are going through a tough time. We need to be demonstrating the love of God everywhere we go. One of the fruits of the Spirit, which is one of the ways me and Steve got saved, actually, there was a little plaque in the car we bought many years ago, 40 years ago, from a curate, a Triumph Dolomite, a red cherry Triumph Dolomite. And we were desperate for a car, which is a big story. And we would have bought anything that had four wheels, really, and could go, because we were really desperate and we had hardly any money. But this curate had this little plaque, the fruit of the Spirit, in the car. And we weren't Christians then, you know. And he prayed for us. You know, we met him again on Wednesday. It was such a joy to see him again. But, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit, you know, found in Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. A fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Some of us today need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again, because we're not bearing the fruit. We're not bearing the fruit of Holy Spirit. And, you know, the world around us needs to see that fruit, don't they? They need to eat of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that's in our lives. Jehovah Rapha, our healer, 1 Peter 2:24 says, He himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. And, you know, God is faithful to his word, isn't he? He's faithful. And sometimes he heals us in miraculous ways, and we've seen lots of those things happen. And sometimes he doesn't, but he's faithful, and he ministers to us even in the midst of our crisis, sometimes in our situations. But we can be confident, we can trust in God and in his faithfulness. Psalm 147 verse 3 says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And some of you today may be brokenhearted and you need the Holy Spirit. You need God to come and to touch your heart where it's been broken. Jehovah Nissi says his banner over us is love and protection. And it says he brought me to his banqueting place, and his banner over me is love to protect and comfort me. And that's Solomon chapter 2 verse 4. The final name I'm going to bring to you is Jehovah Shammah, which means Emmanuel. And I put in brackets, not just for Christmas. You know, like you can get a puppy and think, oh, you know, the adverts are all, this dog is not just for Christmas. And we can be like that, can't we? And think, you know, Emmanuel is this little baby, you know, in the manger. But my experience of 40 years of walking with Jesus in the midst of some really dangerous situations, whether that's been in Uganda or in South Africa, in some of the townships where I've literally walked into the middle of a gunfight, which is really interesting. And between 5 and 7 people were shot dead on the street between these two gangs. Or whether it's been in Ghana, you know, where there's been a massive explosion in this gas station and various other stories. My absolute confidence is that Emmanuel, God, is with me. When you are in the right place, the right time, doing the right thing with the right people, God is always with you. He's always with you. It's the safest place to be in the world where God has called you to be. So we need to love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. So we need that revelation. God is the only one who will never, ever, ever let you down. He loves you unconditionally. When you mess up, he loves you. You know, you can't ever mess up too much that God will not love you. He loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you. And we need to get it from the word of the Bible into our minds and into our hearts so that we begin to activate and to live in that love. Number 2, love yourself. And again, you know, if I had loads of time, I'd tell you more of my story, but I really didn't love myself at all. I had all these labels that everyone else had put on me. So I was full of rejection. I was full of pain. And, you know, really struggled to believe that God could use me. I didn't have a theology degree. You know, I didn't have any of the things. I wasn't a man. You know, I thought you had to be a man to be used by God and church. Nobody said that, by the way. It was just like things that I thought. And, you know, God loves every one of us and has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, whether you're a man, a woman, a child, whether you're old or young or whatever, God still has, you know, an absolute wonderful plan for your life. In 3 of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, so Matthew 22:37, Mark 12:30, blessed you with loads of scriptures, Luke 10:27, all tells us that Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. And it's the first and greatest commandment. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. So if we cannot love and respect ourselves, then we'll find it really impossible to love anybody else, because we'll always have an agenda, and it won't be the love of God. And so we need that transformation, don't we? You know, that just equips us and empowers us to love people with the love that God has given to us, so that we can actually love other people. When Jesus was being baptized in Matthew chapter 3, it tells us as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, the heavens opened and he saw the Spirit of God come down upon him like a dove alighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And you know, God loves us just in the same way. And right at the beginning of Jesus's ministry, you know, he went from that moment of being baptized out into the desert and then into his ministry. And that was the very thing that set him up to even be tempted by the devil for all those days in the desert. He stood knowing that his Father loved him. He was his Father's beloved Son. Some of us today, you know, we cannot grasp, because we've got so much rejection and so much pain and so many labels that we've either put on ourselves or other people have put on us. And God wants to take them off you today. You know, he wants you to know that you are his beloved. If there was no one else on the planet, you are his beloved. He's chosen you. He's appointed you. He thinks you're the best thing since sliced bread and much more. You know, he absolutely adores you. Why does he love you? The Bible tells us, "I knew you before you were even conceived." You know, don't let anyone tell you were a mistake. I had that over me because I was born, you know, my mum and dad had like dynamite mites and had this disastrous marriage. And they got married because they were having me. And so I lived for years taking that responsibility of their deadly marriage upon myself and being told, you know, they wouldn't have got married if they weren't having me. And, you know, I was just this mistake. But, you know, the great news is I was on God's heart from the very beginning of eternity, and I was not a mistake. And for some of you here today, you need to know you are not a mistake. God has a plan for you from the beginning of eternity. You know, there's nothing that your parents did. You know, I used to say to God, "Why did you give me my mum and dad? You know, why was I born to them?" Because it was like disastrous all the time. It was traumatic all the time. But, you know, God allows us to be in situations because he's building our character and he makes us strong, doesn't he? So that we depend on him. Ephesians 1, chapter, verse 11 and 12 says, "I chose you when I planned creation." Wow, can you imagine God up in heaven with all the angels singing holy, 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 as we were hearing before? And in the middle of all of that, right at the very beginning of eternity, you were on his heart as he was planning where Canada was going to be and where England was going to be, as he was beginning to design all the nations and all the animals. Imagine God's imagination and his creativity in the midst of all of that. You go to Chester Zoo and you just think, wow, look at all those animals. And every one of them's different. Every giraffe has got a different pattern on it. Every person has a different fingerprint. God's imagination is just beyond our understanding. But in the midst of that huge, trillions and billions and no words to describe how amazing God is, you were on his heart right at the beginning. He never made a mistake. He knew exactly when you would be born, where you would live, the plan he has for you. You're not an accident. Where you live, the fact that you're here right now is part of God's divine plan. The world will never tell you that. But God wants you to know that today. He loves you. He loves you. You were made in the image of God. Wow. Now, that's a hard one, isn't it? Sometimes we look in the mirror, we don't like what we see. But actually, we're made in the image of God. And when we stop battling about what we look like physically and start just accepting that somehow we're made in the image of God, you know, that we bring him pleasure, we reflect him. You know, he knew exactly what we would look like. Wow. Wow. This is a verse I just love so much, and it blew my mind when I read it the first time. Psalm 18:32, and it says, God stoops down to make us great. Wow. Wow. We're not made to be mediocre. We're not made to be miserable. We're not made, you know, just to go through the motions. We're made to carry his glory. We're made to carry his presence. You know, no matter what our circumstances say, we are made for his glory. He stoops down from heaven, you know, to fill us and to empower us and to make us great. Wow. We've got to stop rejecting ourselves, because when we do that, we're rejecting God, because we're made in his image. Wow. 1 John 3:1 says, it's my desire to lavish my love upon you. Wow. Wow. Not many of us have been lavished by man, have we? You know, with humanity. Humanity doesn't lavish us. Not normally, but God himself wants to lavish you with his love. His love is extravagant. You know, his love wants to give you measurably more than you can possibly dream or imagine. And I've got a great imagination now, because God keeps doing things, you know, that stretches my understanding. You know, we started off with our team many years ago praying like little prayers, and God would go, whoa, what about this answer to prayer? And then your faith grows, and then so you pray a prayer that's like that size, and then God goes, whoa, what about this then? And God can exaggerate. You know, he just is so lavish. He's so extravagant in his love for you. When you become a Christian, you take the name of Christ. Wow. You know, when I married Steve, I took the name Sinclair from being a Curtis. And, you know, God, when we become Christians, you know, it's his name that we take upon ourselves. And it's a precious, beautiful, powerful name. We are his ambassadors here on earth if we choose to position ourselves to receive all that God wants to do in us and give to us. We are created to be agents of transformation, you know, in our families, in our communities, that we are agents of his power and his presence. The final one is love your community. God loves the people of our communities so much, and he calls us to love them as well. And I remember many years ago in Liverpool, and some of you will remember when, you know, if you watched anything on the television about Liverpool, it was terrible. You know, they would find the worst grot spot they could in Liverpool, and we would be, you know, just spoken of in such a terrible, terrible way. And it used to break my heart, and I knew it broke God's heart as well. And it broke my heart because I loved Liverpool. I was born there. It's in my DNA. And, you know, I'm a bit like Blackpool Rock. If you cut me right down the middle, besides saying I love Jesus, it would say I love Liverpool. I'm not talking about the football club. But although, you know, I would be a Liverpool supporter. But, you know, God actually, you know, he wants us to love the place that we live in. You know, you love Canada because that's where you're from. You know, we love England because that's where we're born. And that we are meant to be people who carry the presence and the glory of God out into our communities, wherever you're from. You know, if you're living in this area right now, God wants to speak to you about your community, about your neighbors, you know, about the town center, and use you to really begin to speak. You know, when God spoke in creation and he spoke out the words, "Let there be," and bang, everything just began to slot into place. And I've seen so many times that when we stand in the gap between heaven and earth and we understand God's heart for our cities and our towns, and we begin to implement his word and speak the goodness of God into our communities, you see change come. You definitely see change. And we started this journey 25 years ago, just speaking over our city of Liverpool. Isaiah 61, we all know really, really well, but I took it literally. And it says this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." You know, it's not about our strength. It's not about our ability. It's about God's anointing. You know, that we are walking in his anointing that breaks yokes off people's lives. It's very powerful. "He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives." I know in my testimony, when I share my testimony, it breaks through in other people's lives who've gone through similar crisis and trauma that I've been through. And it gives people hope. Gives people hope that you can survive. And that's why it's so important we don't stay in our brokenness, but that we allow the Lord to heal us up so that we can actually bring healing to other people. Amen. It says to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance to our God. And I love that. You know, when people hurt us or do things against us, the great thing is we don't have to take action, because the Lord himself takes action on our behalf. He is the God of justice. He is the God, you know, who we can trust. He's faithful. He's on our side. All the time. Goes on to say, "He comforts all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes." You know, some of you are living like you're living in the ashes of life. And God wants to say, actually, I want to wash that from your life right now. I want to wash that from your mind. And I want you to understand that you were made to wear a crown of beauty, because you're my precious daughter. You're my amazing son. I've got incredible plans for you. And you just need to choose to step into that. "The oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise." You know, last Sunday, it was so funny last Sunday, because I think three of us last Sunday had the same word that we needed to dance. And I think, Tom, you were saying, take your shoes off and dance. And Dave was all up for it. But there's something just didn't break. It just didn't quite break. And yet, you know, praise should be really what we do, because it should be our lifestyle. We should be all, you know, struggling to get hold of a flag because so many people have got them and are moving and dancing and worshiping. Even if physically you can only wriggle your fingers, we should be, you know, in our hearts and our minds, absolutely sold out, worshiping Jesus. Worshipping in our cars, worshipping when we're walking around, worshipping wherever we are, the school gates. You know, it's a constant lifestyle, isn't it, of worship. "A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." You know, I've been in despair. I've been in brokenness. I've been through post-traumatic stress syndrome. I've been in those seasons where I could cry enough tears to fill a reservoir all by myself in the middle of drought. So, you know, I understand what it feels like to be in despair. I understand what it feels like to be broken. But I want to say, God healed me. God is our healer. He is the one who sets us free. He breaks the power of trauma off our lives. you know, so that we can be all that he's created us to be. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Wow. Wow. Just let that soak in your head for a minute. You were made to display the splendor of God. We need to tell our faces, don't we? Because our faces don't look like that. We need to actually tell our faces, you know, that we were made to display the splendor of God. Because if we've got a face on us that's not shining with that lovely, precious light of Jesus, you know, we're not, who are we displaying? We're not displaying the Lord, are we, when we're looking miserable? And it's a choice. We have to choose, don't we, not to allow ourselves to go into that hole. And it's really important. God will empower you if you just make that choice and that decision. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. And that was like, right, I'm on this. This is my word. I am standing on this word for Liverpool. And we just began to declare the goodness of God over Liverpool. We began to look at the desolation and the broken places and say, we're calling in new schools where the schools were broken. We had the biggest school building program in the whole of Europe at one point in Liverpool. You know, we reorganized housing. Can you imagine that? We drove around Croxteth and Norris Green, which was like the worst areas of crime. And again, we could tell you lots and lots and lots of stories, connecting in with the police, doing things. And, you know, people were living in hopelessness. And we just said, you know, all this money that's been withheld from Liverpool for decades and decades and decades, people living in housing that was beyond disrepair. And we just began to say, we just release this funding from heaven right now, wherever it comes from, naturally, we're releasing it from heaven. And we pray right now for the plans of our city, so people who are gangsters can't sit and live in little communities all together. We're moving them around and we're allocating them to different housing where they're going to encounter people who will love them out of crime. And we began to pray for all the crime bosses and all kinds of things began to happen. One guy actually fell out of a tree. Can you imagine that? And his life actually was really transformed. You know, not just because he fell out of a tree, but, you know, he just began to know God. Some of the top gangsters at the time, were arrested and charged and all the evidence. They went to prison. They went to an Alpha course. They got saved. You know, that kind of thing happens because you stand on the word of God. Not on our power, not on our ability, not on what we can do. All about Jesus. All about him. So, you know, God began to move. We prayed for every business that failed. And we said, God, that's not your will for our city. So for every business that's failed, we pray in 10 new ones. Every job that's gone, we pray 10 new jobs in Jesus' name. And we've gone from, you know, being really broken as we've loved our city, as we've declared, you know, God said to us, dream big. And we began to say to everyone, dream big. And all of a sudden outside the Titanic Hotel, we saw these big signs. If you've driven past the Titanic Hotel in Liverpool, it's got these massive signs now that say dream big. And it's like you speak it and then it comes to pass, you know. And we need to understand that God loves, he loves Ormskirk. He loves Skelmersdale. He loves wherever you live. You know, God loves your community and has a plan. So the interesting thing has been, you know, since we began to pray all that time ago, there's been dramatic developments. The River Mersey, which is one of the most polluted rivers in our nation now, Stephen will tell you because he sees things when he's offshore and stuff. It has more wildlife in it than it's ever, ever had. It's one of the cleanest rivers in the whole of the UK. 2016, it was announced that Liverpool was the entrepreneurial, that's a hard word to say, capital of the UK. Wow. I mean, isn't that just incredible? Michael Heseltine came back to Liverpool and he wept. I think that was last year. it just brought him to tears because he saw it at his worst. He came back and he was just wowed by the transformation of our city, and it's not finished yet. So since then, Liverpool has become one of the top tourist destinations. If we'd have stood here 20 years ago and said Liverpool's going to be a top tourist, people would have laughed. If we'd have said tourists are going to come from all over the world in their tour ships, you know, cruise ships, people would have laughed. But actually, it's happening. It's amazing. So the tour ships are coming. So we need hotels. So we need restaurants. So we need event spaces. We need all these things. And all of a sudden, a whole industry has risen up that was never there before. It's amazing what God is doing. The film industry. Me and Steve got quite excited last year because somebody from one of the media things came and knocked on our door and said they wanted to use our house for filming. And they give us £1,000 a day. That sounded quite exciting. But actually, in the end, they didn't do it, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, that there is a whole media film industry now. You know, we have a film office because we have that much production going on in our region. Isn't that exciting? Amazing. That's what happens when we stand on the word of God and we stand knowing that actually we can do nothing. Who am I? Who are we? We're a bunch of nobodies without God. Aren't we? We're just ordinary people without God, but with God we can do extraordinary things, you know, because it's Him. It's all about Him. It's all for His glory. He will choose the weakest, foolish person, and that's me. I really qualify. In fact, I'm overqualified even for that. You know, I did French and I was rubbish at it. Oh, my word. Rubbish. Rubbish. I tried so hard. God just, He will use anybody, absolutely anybody. And I want to bring it to an end really by saying, you know, we need to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our being. We need to love ourselves. That's so key, so important. And we need to love our communities. Stop joining in with the enemy and moaning about it. Stop moaning about those neighbours that get on your nerves and start praying for them. You know, stop agreeing with the enemy's agenda, you know, for different towns and cities. I will not tolerate anyone speak bad about Liverpool. You know, somebody spoke bad about my Steve, I'd be like, I'm not having that. You know, we're like that, aren't we? As family, we wouldn't stand for it. And people never spoke badly about Liverpool twice around me because I'd say, how dare you? You're cursing my city. You know, and so they don't even do it anymore now, which is great. But I want us to pray a little bit differently today because I really believe if we will take God's word, if we will actually stand and position ourselves, no matter how we felt like when we came in today, that if we agree to meet with God today, then He will move. You know, next week we could be double the size. The week after we could be four times as big. If we just begin to take hold of God's word and really implement it. So what I want us to do, I don't want anyone left in the chair. I really want to challenge you because I'm challenged as well. And what I want to do is I want to pray over three different areas. And I've asked some beautiful assistants to come and help me. So if you need to know the love of God, if you need to know you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you might have been filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, 20 years ago. But actually, you know you're dry. You know you need to be filled afresh today. You need to be empowered. You need to know the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, Mike is going to pray for you. And we want you to come out in a moment and Mike will pray for you. If you know that you don't love yourself, you've got issues around that, you're struggling with that, you're full of rejection, AD is going to lead the prayer for that. And the final area is if you No, you need to love your community. If you're already filled the Holy Spirit, if you already love yourself, then this is the one for you. So no one's left out. You could go to all three, actually, if you want to. That's fine as well. But Dave is going to lead, because he's like Mr. Ormskirk, isn't he, really? So Dave so Dave is going to pray. If you know you don't love your community, or you need to love it more, Dave is going to, and if you need any helpers to help you do that, I'm sure you'll know who to pull in. But the final thing I want to say is, all of that doesn't count for anything if you haven't given your life to Jesus. You know, we've sang about Jesus, we've spoken about Jesus. And again, it might be you've been in church all your life, or it might be you've just walked through the doors today. But, you know, God wants you to absolutely know him. And you can only do that through Jesus. You know, he's the only way. He is the only truth. He's the only life. You know, Jesus hung on the cross that we can have life in abundance and not just mediocrity. You know, he wants to come into your life. It totally changed my life 40 years ago. And I've never, ever regretted being called a Christian, you know, marked by the cross of Jesus. So if that's you, you know, I would really like to pray for you. So what we don't want to see is anyone left in the chairs. And maybe Sue can lead some gentle worship. And the final thing I want to say is the Lord told me to do these. So on the tag it says, Father God loves you. And there's enough for every single person, and there's a few left over. So if you make sure you take one for yourself. It's all full of scripture, and it's called the Father's Love Letter. Some of you will have seen that before. And what I want you to do, if you already know it all and you don't need to read it, I want you to take it and give it to somebody else. And that might be their invitation to come next week. But there are some extras as well. We've got two boxes full, about 75. So, you know, there's plenty to go around. Take one and maybe give one to someone in work. Maybe give one to your neighbour. Maybe give it to someone in the local shop, or, you know, God will speak to you. Somebody needs that. So come and get some prayer. And when you've received prayer, come and help yourself to one of these beautiful scrolls that the Lord has had us do. So, Father, we just thank you for your presence today. Thank you, God, that you don't want us just to go, well, that was an interesting word, or that was a bit pointy, or Lord God, that was a great word, or whatever. Lord, we want to be activated today. Lord God, we are here because you called us to Ormskirk Christian Fellowship, because you want to bring growth to this community. You want to bring, Lord, a move of God to Ormskirk and beyond, Lord God. And so we choose today to align ourselves with you. And Lord, we ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit to speak to every single person here right now and show us exactly how we need to respond. And Lord, we receive the scroll, the Father's Love Letter. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll show us who we need to give one to, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.